This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
The heartbeat of Saskatchewan is agriculture, and 620 CKRM is proud to be your source for everything ag. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with your host, Jim Smalley.
And a good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. It's brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge. Here's another reminder to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com. And brought to you by the Arcola Co-op. You're at home here on Highway 13 in Arcola. Today we have the latest market update from Sask Wheat, which takes a look at exports in the past crop year, which ended July 31st. Shipments were down significantly due to last year's drought. We also have an update on efforts to restart Ukrainian grain exports. We have the latest six nominees for the Saskatchewan Agricultural Hall of Fame this year. We also look at efforts to battle the wheat midge and U.S. farmland values. The farm weather's in its usual spot.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri News Director Jim Smalley.
Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnson's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection. And brought to you by Farm Fresh Water. They'll make your well water wonderful and your dugout drinkable. Get your Farm Fresh Water today at farmfreshwater.ca. The latest Sask Wheat market outlook says markets remain quite volatile on thin trade this past week. Michael Wilton with Mercantile Consulting prepared the report and says Minneapolis spring wheat was down 20 cents last week.
It was a slow week in the cash trade. We heard of Iran buying about 240,000 tons of September-October wheat from the Russians. Algeria bought 660,000 tons from seven different sellers. This is for September and October delivery. Jordan bought 60,000 tons for January delivery wheat. U.S. export sales for the week were low at 250,000 tons. The weekly Commitment of Traders report showed that funds were extending their net short in soft red wheat through the end of the week. Managed money increased their net short by 4,500 contracts to a net 4,970 contracts. In Kansas City wheat, managed money firms reduced their long position by 1,049 contracts for a net long of 9,992 contracts. Spring wheat speculative traders closed their long position and flipped to a net short for the first time since October of 2020. Their net short was reported at 652 contracts. The charts currently look technically oversold. In Canada, spring wheat conditions in the Western Prairies remain favorable overall. Most of the growing regions in Manitoba are considered to be 80 to 90% good to excellent. One notable exception to this is the Interlake region, where just 55% of the crop is in good to excellent condition, and 20% of the crop is in poor or very poor condition. There was no update for Saskatchewan's crop, but soil moisture remains strong generally. Alberta's crop was 80% good to excellent as of July 26th, when they were forecasting a very strong 52 bushel per acre crop. Alberta's next crop report is out tomorrow. According to Statistics Canada, Canadian wheat exports for the month of June were 807,000 tons, for an August to June total of 10.7 million tons. This is 56% of last year's amount. Japan has been the largest customer for Canadian wheat, importing a to-date total of 1.4 million tons, which is almost the same as their to-date amount last year. China has been the destination with the largest year-over-year decrease. Exports to China are down 78% from last year to 690,000 tons. According to the CGC, Canada exported a strong 421,000 tons of wheat in the final shipping week of the season. Total exports for the crop year are then 11.5 million tons, which is 59% less than last year's number. Visible supplies in commercial elevators has been shrinking, but there is still 1.8 million tons of visible stocks, that will be exported or milled in the upcoming season.
Wilton also provided an update on the restart of grain shipments from Ukraine following the Russian invasion in February.
The first shipment of Ukrainian grain, which was likely composed of corn, made it safely to Turkey for inspection. Another three ships carrying corn and other feedstuffs reportedly left Ukraine over the weekend. The UN is hoping that these will be followed by an inbound vessel, which has been authorized to load in Ukraine. This will be the first bulk vessel to sail to Ukraine since February 24th. These developments are a very slow start to the Ukrainian Transport Minister's very optimistic hopes of 100 vessels of grain loaded per month. There has been no movement of Ukrainian wheat. A significant portion of wheat is still sitting in Russian-occupied regions, and its fate is uncertain. Prices offered to Ukrainian farmers are still well below the cost of production. This, combined with low soil moistures and an unfavorable forecast, are limiting the incentives for Ukrainian farmers to plant the next crop. Russian wheat prices fell by $15 a ton over the week and are now $345 a ton. Under normal circumstances, Russian wheat would be taking all of the demand at these levels, but importers have been reluctant to risk buying Russian wheat. Russian exports are well below the USDA's projected export pace, but the recent progress in the Black Sea will likely keep the USDA from making major changes in their upcoming report.
Michael Wilton of Mercantile Consulting prepared the latest market report.
Back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
This portion is brought to you by Prairie 6-inch eaves troughs. An inch makes a big difference. PrairieEavesTroughs.ca and your Prairie Co-op Grow Team. Fueling farms, feeding families in Cupar, Ituna, Lipton, and Strasburg. The Saskatchewan Agricultural Hall of Fame is inducting six well-known people this fall. President Reed Andrew of Regina outlines the six inductees announced this morning in Saskatoon.
For the 2020 inductees, we have Jim Betzel. Jim played a great role in the canola as a reliable, profitable crop in Saskatchewan and Western Canada. And we also have late Margaret Cole, of course, known for her work in extension and economics and family financing in Saskatchewan. We also have Leslie Hill, who provided technical harvesting knowledge to Saskatchewan farmers through the project SUPAMI. We have Dr. Jeff Shano, a professor of soil fertility and professional agrologist, innovative in soil nutrition and management, profitable crops. Mark Salzer, a leader in the bison industry, spending thousands of volunteer hours dedicating promoting bison industry in the province, national and internationally. And then, of course, we have Jack Dawes, person and not a stranger to the media, an agriculture broadcast journalist, but he is also part of the Prairie Oat Grower Association that was key in establishing Saskatchewan Oat Development Commission and Manitoba Growers Association. So all these individuals will be formally inducted into the Saskatchewan Hall of Fame at the Prairie Land Park in Saskatoon on November 12, 2022. And you can go to our website after September 1st, SAHF.ca, and there'll be a link to where the ceremony tickets will be for sale, and it's open to everybody. And another note, it's our 50th anniversary this year, so it's the 50th induction ceremony, and we're inviting all past inductees and families and friends to also come and participate in this event, and of course they also go to the same place to get tickets.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney, brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update. Bring the energy of Real Ag Radio to your next customer meeting or conference. From your stage, we'll record an episode in person to inform and provide insight on the latest in agriculture. Email advertising at realagriculture.com to learn more about this unique keynote opportunity.
Hey, Kara Oosterhuis here with realagriculture.com. I have here with me Adam Fast, who's a master's student with the University of Alberta. So we are here today to talk about some of the research you've been doing with enhanced efficiency fertilizers. Do you want to kind of elaborate on that?
My master's research is looking at different enhanced efficiency fertilizers applied at different nitrogen rate in a relatively new cultivar of spring wheat in Western Canada, AAC Viewfield. And I'm really looking at the agronomic side of it and seeing if we can improve yield parameters. So the study that we're in right now, 313, it's N rates and different N forms. So we're having six different enhanced efficiency fertilizers with urea as well. And these are applied at four different N rates, 60, 120, 180, and 240 kilograms per hectare. And then the other study, 314, it's looking at two different cultivars, AAC Viewfield and Stettler, with five of these enhanced efficiency fertilizers at three different placement and timing. So with that study, it's all side banded or split applied between side banded Feeks 4 and Feeks 10, or side banded and Feeks 10.
And what are some of the results you guys have seen so far?
What we're seeing so far is it's very variable between the different site years. This is across six different locations in Western Canada, and that has kind of changed over the last few years as Alberta Ag has changed. What we're seeing is overall, you know, urea is pretty tough to beat with the spring wheat. We are seeing in quite a few site years increases in yield and protein with the use of a nitrification inhibitor. So that would be typically Super U, which also is a dual inhibitor and has the urease inhibitor in it, but as well as Entrench, which is solely a nitrification inhibitor, and the active ingredient, that's nitropyrin.
How have you found, I mean, you're looking across Western Canada, and this year specifically, like, we're seeing huge amounts of variability when it comes to moisture levels. How does that play into EEFs?
You know, I think it makes a grower need to be cognizant that no 2 years are the same. So you're probably more prone to denitrification loss in the soil, where a nitrification inhibitor is your best bet to help preserve the nitrogen that you apply. But that could easily change, especially like last year, you know, there was a drought basically across everywhere. But I think the variability in the future of the environments that we're in, it just causes a grower to need to think, you know, there's got to be a way that I can protect my nitrogen so that my plants get the most nitrogen that's going to increase yield or protein or biomass or whatever they're trying to achieve. So just got to be cognizant that there's ways that we can protect our nitrogen that we apply.
So if a producer is looking at using an EEF for the first time, what's kind of your number one messaging?
So the number one EEF in Canada and the States is ESN, which is a polymer-coated urea. So I just mentioned nitrification or urease inhibitors. ESN is a totally different thing. It just slowly releases that soluble nitrogen of a urea granule over the course of a growing season, cued with moisture and more dependently temperature. As it increases, the granule will release the soluble N, and then in theory the plant will uptake that better throughout the growing season, because as we all know, wheat, the nitrogen uptake is sigmoidal, so it doesn't take all its nitrogen at once. It's spread throughout the season, but there's definitely an accelerated nitrogen uptake phase. So ESN is a classic enhanced efficiency fertilizer to use. But in terms of an inhibitor package, it's hard to beat, and you really can't with what we've seen and other research from Dr. Brian Bears in winter wheat is Super U. It's a dual inhibitor product. It has DCD as a nitrification inhibitor and NBPT as a urease inhibitor, and that's just a great all-around package basically for any method or any fashion that you're applying your urea. What has surprised me is that the enhanced efficiency fertilizers, you know, it's great to think of them in theory, and they've definitely been shown to preserve environmental health by reducing nitrogen loss, but that's maybe not necessarily translating automatically into higher yields or whatever yield parameter you're after. But there's a greenhouse gas component to it, so we're measuring cumulative nitrous oxide emissions throughout the growing season, and that nitrification inhibitors are reducing those emissions relative to urea by over 30%, which is in line with federal set goals that are coming about for agriculture use and fertilizer use.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update.
It's your agri-weather forecast on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Today, sunny, wind northwest 20. The high today, 26 degrees, and we have a ways to go to get there. The low 10. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, the high 28, the low 15. Thursday, clearing and a high 29, the low 17. Friday, sunny, the high 29, the low 15. Saturday, partly cloudy, the high 27, the low 16. Sunday, sunny with a high 28, the low 15. Monday, sunny with a high of 29 degrees. Normal high is 26, the normal low is 10. The sun rose at 5:38 this morning. It sets at 8:30 tonight. And around the province, the hot spot in the southwest corner, Valmarie at 25. The cold spot up north, Collins Bay at 10 degrees. And everybody, all the rest, are all 22 degrees. Estevan, Saskatoon, Swift Current, Weyburn, and Yorkton are all 22. Regina, sunny and 22. That's 72 Fahrenheit. Winds are from the north, northwest at 20. Humidity is 43%. The barometric pressure, 102.3. It's falling. And Moose Jaw, sunny and 22. Winds are from the northwest at 13. I don't think I can ever remember where the whole roundup was all the same temperature. Once again, Regina, sunny and 22. That's 72 Fahrenheit.
This spring, apply pre-emergent Edge Microactive Group 3 herbicide from Gowan, Canada, before seeding your canola, peas, or lentils. Maximize yield today and manage resistance tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions. From Gowan, Canada.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers, McDougallAuctions.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. The Saskatchewan Pork Development Board is conducting a three-year project to shed new light on the frequency and application of antimicrobial drugs being administered on provincial hog farms. The Benching Marking Project will provide a more detailed look at antibiotic use. This will assist in helping producers make more informed decisions regarding the prudent and effective use of these drugs. Rayneet Kaur is the Manager of Producer Services and On-Farm Food Safety Programs with Sask Pork.
This project will examine types and quantities of antimicrobials purchased by the farm, which includes prescriptions, receipts, farm records, etc., for a certain number of Saskatchewan-based farms over a period of 3 years. And of course, participation by both producers and veterinarians is voluntary, but of course, their participation is essential for the success of this project.
Kaur outlines the main objectives of the benchmarking project.
The main objectives are evaluating current antibiotic usage on Saskatchewan swine farms, also comparing usage over time with other producers in Saskatchewan as well as across Canada, and then creating awareness and facilitating conversations among producers, veterinarians, and others in the industry to identify and evaluate their current management practices.
Information generated through the study will help establish provincial guidelines for farm-level antimicrobial use on hog farms. Farmland values in the United States are seeing double-digit increases in most parts of the nation. More on this report from Rod Bain in Washington, D.C.
We have on the order of more than 10% increases in the average value of cropland within this survey.
Up over 14%, or $630 per acre, in USDA's annual look at farmland values. And Chief Economist Seth Meyer adds overall farm real estate rose over 12% year over year, or $420 per acre.
In percentage terms, we had strong increases in pasture land value, too.
An 11.5% increase from 2020. 2021. A look at farmland values by region reveals that
you do see pretty big numbers in places like Iowa and Nebraska and Kansas. Cropland value in Iowa rising almost 20% from 2021. Nebraska being 21%, Illinois being more than 13%, Minnesota being over 17%.
In addition, North Dakota farmland values were up 13% and South Dakota 19%.
You're tuned to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelmann Industries. Look to Degelmann for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. Crop researchers are taking steps to reduce the threat from the wheat midge. University of Alberta professor Boyd Morey describes the bugs as looking similar to mosquitoes, but they're a lot smaller. They've got an orange tinge to them, hence their full name, the orange blossom wheat midge. He says they lay eggs on wheat, and once those eggs have hatched, the larvae eat the wheat kernels, costing prairie wheat farmers big losses every year, an estimated $60 million. And given that the pesticides that work on them are pricey, Morey and the rest of the university's team members have been working on a more natural way of battling them. In this case, that means wheat plants that are more unattractive to the midge, especially when it comes to smell. So they're currently trying to figure out how they could come up with a type of wheat that produces an anti-midge stink. Reporter Cheryl Brooks asked him if that work could be used on other crops as well.
Behind it and the technology used to identify the chemical compounds and whatnot could be used in a similar system if we can identify, you know, maybe in canola there's specific canola lines that smell differently and help to repel insects. We can then use that, the same kind of technology within a project like that, and develop something for canola or other crops.
This kind of work that you're doing like this, because this sounds to a certain degree a lot more natural than using, say, pesticides and such, is this going to become a lot more normal? Is it something that we're moving more towards as the world tries to get away from more pesticide use and chemicals, a more environmentally friendly way of looking at things?
That is the direction that we are heading. It would be a lot easier for growers to be able to just, you know, plant a seed in the ground, allow that plant to develop, and it already has natural resistance against insect pests. And so we call that host plant resistance. And it is, there is host plant resistance in wheat for other pests, as well as in a bunch of other crops that have been developed. But it is lacking for other crops. And so I think this is definitely a direction we're heading. There is a huge push in Europe, especially at the moment, looking at host plant resistance and trying to develop these traits into some of our major crops. And it is definitely, you know, a direction we're heading here in Canada. There's work being done in canola for a variety of insect pests, trying to increase host plant resistance. We're doing this work with wheat. So it's definitely a direction that's being built up more and more these days.
How much does insect devastation cause monetarily or even like amount-wise to crops on a regular basis, even in just in Western Canada?
It's very yearly dependent, so, and kind of population dependent and growing season dependent. So depending on the insect species involved and the crop involved, you know, the weather conditions, et cetera, can all influence the insects that we find. In wheat, if we were to have a significant outbreak of wheat midge, there's potential to cause damage in excess of $300 million just in wheat from wheat midge. So that's just a single pest on a single crop. If we look at the crops we have on the prairies and the number of insect pests, you know, we're talking, yeah, hundreds of millions of dollars can be lost annually, not only in kind of direct yield losses, but also the funds needed to control or apply control products to help conserve the yield of these crops.
This research could go a long way in helping alleviate a lot of the cost, even just to start.
Absolutely. There was some work done looking at even biological control agents, you know, small parasitoid wasps that helped to control some insect pests. And during the 80s, actually, even on wheat midge, and this little wasp itself was thought to help contribute at least $60 million in control each year. So there's definitely some huge potential here, not only for host plant resistance that we're looking at, but also biological control and other management factors.
That's University of Alberta professor Boyd Morey.
The Market Updates with Jim Smalley on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Market Update is brought to you by Freeze Thom & Lumber. Go from backyard blah to backyard beautiful with landscaping products from Freeze Thom & in Regina and Fort Capel. And Sask Pork, working on behalf of Saskatchewan hog producers and our community. Grain prices were mixed in early trading. Viterra prices for feed barley fell $10 at $272.87. Canola rose $1.30 at $796.72. Flax declined $80 at $662.67. One red spring wheat went up $168 at $368.85. The rest were unchanged. Durum $408.62. Chickpeas $925.95. Lentils $731.50. Oats $296.53. Yellow peas $442.89. And feed wheat $299.56. At Minneapolis, September spring wheat rose 7.25 cents at $8.88 a bushel.
It's the Livestock Reports on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn 842-4574. And now, the latest livestock quotes.
This is the market report for the Weyburn Livestock Exchange for the week of August 9th. Our last regular sale was on August 3rd. D1 and D2 cows sold from $1.07 to $1.18. D3 cows sold from 90 cents to $1.05. Canter cows sold from 60 cents to 80 cents. Heiferettes sold from $1.35 to $1.55. And good butcher bulls sold from $1.25 to $1.45. There weren't enough steers or heifers to establish an accurate price quotation. Lots of yearlings have been selling in the States. The prices have been high on them, which should reflect here when we have our pre-sorted yearling sale on August 15th. This has been Stephanie Digg reporting from the Weyburn Livestock Exchange, the market that gets cattle and the prices chew.
And now the latest Saskatchewan pork prices.
Ham sold 8,300 hogs Monday, selling a range of $270 to $285 per CKG. Today's sales are expected to be around 7,500 head, selling a range of $268 to $287 per CKG. Ham's cash hog price today is up and four contract prices opened lower this morning. On Monday, the Canadian dollar is up 46 basis points, with the daily exchange rate at 1.2857. The Canadian dollar is currently trading at 77.61 cents U.S. Daily U.S. cash prices are moderately higher, with the negotiated Western Corn Belt up 22 cents U.S. 100 weight, while the national regions are 7 cents stronger relative to the previous day. In terms of the weekly trends so far, the Western Corn Belt is up by over $3 compared to a week ago, and residing above $130 U.S. 100 weight, a new record for the marketing week. National regions are trending lower, are still under $120, and have a way to go before venturing into new record territory, but are still at the second highest level for the present marketing week. Seasonality will likely be a recurring theme here, and for good reason. In every marketing year observed except for 2020, seasonal price pressures have developed between now and the end of the year. Cutout values, while often correlated with cash hogs, do not mirror cash trends exactly, but they typically see pressure between now and the end of the year, too. Current forward contract values are at unprecedented levels for this time of year today, and at least a percentage of total forward contracts should be considered at current prices for the unhedged. It should also be noted that prices have fallen the most when starting from elevated levels in August, such as in 2014 and 2021.
Coming up, the Resource Report.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by Second Look Online Auction. Visit 2ndlookonlineauction.com to see what's up for bid. And brought to you by Mandaco. Talk to your Mandaco dealer or visit Mandaco.com to learn more about Mandaco land rollers and tillage equipment. Several countries in Europe dependent on Russian energy are suffering another blow with confirmation that oil shipments have stopped through a critical pipeline. Russia's state pipeline operator, Transneft, said it had stopped shipments through the southern branch of the Druzhba oil pipeline, which flows through Ukraine to the Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Hungary. Transneft cited complications due to European Union sanctions for its action, saying its payment to the company's Ukrainian counterpart was refused. It says the northern leg of the Druzhba pipeline, which runs through Belarus to Poland and Germany, was unaffected. EU leaders agreed in May to embargo most Russian oil imports, but allowed shipments to certain countries in Central Europe. Three direct international flights are returning to Regina's airport this winter. WestJet is adding nonstop service flights from Regina to Las Vegas, Orlando, and Cancun. The routes have been suspended for more than 2 years due to the pandemic. The Las Vegas and Cancun routes will begin mid-November with flights offered twice per week, while the Orlando route is scheduled to start up in December and will be offered once per week. On the markets today, the TSX is down 97 points to 19,572. The Dow has fallen 45 points to 32,787. Oil has dropped $1.13 at $89.63 a barrel. The Canadian dollar is at 77.50 cents U.S. That's the resource report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune in to the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley.
You've been listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM. If you missed any of today's broadcast, download the podcast now online at 620CKRM.com. Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, following the 12 o'clock news on your voice for everything ag.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.